This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio 2296. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all, shortwave. On this edition, recorded May 22, 2025. Australia, Brazil, Cuba, Guam, Indonesia, Japan, Korea North, Korea South, Luxembourg, Marshall Islands, Moldova, Myanmar, New Zealand, North America, Oklahoma, Spain, Turkey, Ukraine, UK, USA, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. From Ron Howard in California, another report about low-power Australian shortwave stations. He's heard via remote in Brisbane. This one is 5045, Bay Islands Radio. It's broadcasting from Russell Island. He heard it May 18th between 0535 and 0635 UT. With non-stop pop songs and occasional IDs at 0600, an ad for a taxi service. He says, wonderful to have another low-powered Australian returning after a considerable absence. But this will probably cause some problems. For reception of Nick Hutchko's Radio DX from Norfolk Island, whenever he reactivates his station on the same frequency. And more about the disappearance we mentioned last week of Radio Brasil Central from 4985 and 11815. In Nashville listener's notebook, Pedro de Castro in Brazil contributes this from Juliana Carnevale of the Agência Brasil Central and the government of Goiás. RBC, currently on 1270 medium wave, will migrate to FM, a process approved by the Ministry of Communications at the end of last February. According to the president of ABC, Reginaldo Jr., the migration will guarantee the survival and legacy of 75 years of the station. The AM operation will be terminated at Fazenda Bananal, where the transmitters for medium and short and tropical waves are installed. Two other FM radio stations may be created with the migration of shortwave and tropical frequencies as well, still unpredicted. Well, this same thing has happened in the case of many other Brazilian shortwave stations. They have to give up shortwave as well as medium wave in order to get on FM, which they prefer. Very pleased to hear from a long-time World of Radio listener inside Cuba with first-hand info about listening to Radio Marti and the situation there. It's Pavel Milanesh Costa, CO7WT, in Camagüey. Referring to our program last week, he says Radio Marti is heard routinely on AM 1180. There are some funny situations making this possible. Cuba's long-time energy crisis is no secret. As you might expect, the local evenings from 5 to 9 p.m., sometimes up to 11 or later, is the high-demand period, and they cannot supply the demand. Then most of the country goes routinely to blackout during those hours, except for Havana, which is protected at all costs. As a result, a few of the local AM transmitters get power from diesel generators, sometimes reduced power, or usually just shut down altogether. Lately, the AM transmitters are just powered off during the evening period, and local diesel power is reserved for FM stations, also on reduced power. So almost every province has an AM transmitter on 1180 kHz to jam Radio Marti, but some AM listeners got a surprise tuning to 1180 instead of Radio Rebelde or a local station. His receiver is an SDR play, but he says you can pick it up decently with almost any AM radio or PL880 on a local setting. You can hear Radio Marti 1180 most of the time. So, with the blackouts, they are turning off the jamming stations, and at least in Camagüey, it's normal to hear Marti with battery-operated radios. Here is an oddity from Takahito Akabayashi in Tokyo, Japan, about Guam's KTWR, which, however, is not transmitting from Guam, but from Uzbekistan, well, at least for their DRM service to Japan. He says transmitter number 6 of KTWR has been in trouble since the beginning of May. They decided to change the site for DRM to Japan from Guam to Tashkent, After some tests, it's resumed since Saturday, May 17th, at 11 to 12:30 UT. Half an hour each in Chinese, Japanese, and English on 15230, beamed to Northeast Asia every Saturday. That's 50 kilowatts at 76 degrees from Tashkent. He says on the first date, the signal strength was very strong. DRM was well demodulated, but it was misdisplayed, the titles, referring to the C.M. Obrecht musical hour. And there was some other voice mixed in, perhaps cross-modulation. Ron Howard in California continues monitoring Indonesia's only remaining regional shortwave station, RRI Nabiri, Program 1, on 7289.93. On May 16th, he heard it from 0750 until off at 0935, mostly non-stop, easy-listening songs, occasional announcements. At 0852 to 0902, an Islamic segment of Shalawat Tarhim prayer and Maghrib or sunset call to prayer, which was about 5 minutes later than the official Maghrib time on that date. Reception started out very poor, but slowly improved as usual until it was fair, with some noise. This was direct reception at Asilomar State Beach near Monterey, California. Using a CR1 and 100-foot long wire, beach reception was only slightly weaker than his usual Kiwi SDR remote reception at Townsville, Queensland, Australia. In the real DX group, Hiro Nakagawa in Kanagawa, Japan, tells Volodya Salmaniev, "Sorry to say, in Japan, commercial broadcasting stations are expected to disappear by 2028. With the exception of a few. Also, NHK plans to reduce its medium-wave broadcasting from 2 to 1 from next year. Therefore, Japanese broadcasting stations will only have a few years of opportunity to DX, on medium-wave, that is. Please DX as many as you can. I will help you confirm them." However, Japan does have a commercial shortwave station, Radio Nikkei, with two different programs. In the British DX Club, Tony Pavic, NBC, explains, "Radio Nikkei has two varieties, 1 and 2. Number 1 on 6055 is a fairly easy catch at 11 UT most mornings on the west coast of Canada. Less so on 3925. They tend to be a full-service program with discussion and features. Music is mostly adult contemporary with occasional tracks from American artists of the 70s and 80s. All in all, a nice listen, even if you don't speak Japanese. And Radio Nikkei, too, seems to be geared to a younger audience, more music of a contemporary nature with a lot of J-pop. 6115 also makes it to the West Coast almost daily, and far less often on 3945. Ron Howard reports on clandestines for Korea North. Back on the alternate frequency of 5920 is Voice of Freedom, instead of 6045, which still had super jamming from North Korea. That always happens. They change frequency, and it takes a while for NK to catch up. This was May 16th at 11:03 to 11:07 via remotes in Japan, with pop songs, but strong jamming did hit at 11:07. This was strong pulsating jamming, while the usual super jamming white noise was still going on X6045. Then on May 17th, he reports VOF on 5920, randomly after 0945 UT via remotes in Japan. There was a music program at 10:50, apparently an ID at 1100, and strong pulsating jamming started at 1111. Ron says what's interesting on 5920 is that Shokaze, or Seabreeze, JSR from Japan, since May 1st has been scheduled also on 5920. But since May 12th it's been silent on that frequency and broadcasting on only one, 5965, from 13 to 14 UT, as he and Hiroshi in Japan have been observing. For a very long time, Shokaze was always been on the air with two frequencies during this time period. Then on May 21st, Voice of Freedom was totally unusable at 1120 UT due to that super jamming from North Korea on 5920. Meanwhile, on May 21st, Ron surveyed the frequencies of the two clandestines from South to North Korea. Echo of Hope, 3985, 4885, 5995, 6250, 6350, 7720. And Voice of the People, 3480, 3910, 3930, 4450, 6520, and 6,600. 4,560 was missing on May 22nd for some reason. The times he checked these were 11:10 and 11:15 UT. In the NASA flash sheet, Ed Chicharek in New Jersey reports KBS World Radio via WRMI 5800, May 17th at 02:13, talking about economics and economic security and traveling in South Korea. Well, the WRMI schedule only shows World Radio Network at 02 to 03 UT only on System D 5800. From that, you would never know that it's actually containing KBS World Radio. We reported last week that the Brazilian ethnic station, Radio Onda, was transmitting via Luxembourg on 6140. But since then, most have been hearing a different station on that frequency. It's the Swiss Catholic station, Radio Gloria, in German. According to Christian Gibaudot in France in the British DX Club, at 1830 UT, May 16th. Then Wolfgang Büschel in Germany was hearing it May 17th at 1139, 15 hertz below 6140, a religious symphonic music station. Then David Koenig, UK, of Interval Signals Online, says, Catholic religious station Radio Gloria was observed crash starting on 6140 at 06 UT, 20 May. Programming in German, very good reception via remotes. The fourth consecutive day of Radio Gloria, presumably via Junglinster, Luxembourg. So what's happened to the previously announced test broadcast of Belgium's Radio Onda? No sign of that on their alternative frequency either, 9530. Ron Howard then heard it via remote and in sync with audio streaming at the website, where there's more information, radiogloria.ch. It says at the moment a test operation is running daily from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. That would be 06 until 19 UT. Then Bruce Churchill in California heard Radio Gloria on 6140, May 20th from 1845, via remote in Cyprus. But interference from 6145 starting at 1900. However, Gloria was still going past 1925. In the Real DX group, Shinjo in Japan, a member of the Totsuka DX Circle, says they were on a DX expedition May 11th and 12th on Hachijojima Island, 300 kilometers south of Tokyo, with very good medium-wave propagation from the south. A broadcast from the Republic of the Marshall Islands was especially strong and impressive on 1098 kilohertz. At 18 UT, May 11th, beginning a broadcast starting with their national anthem. He says it's so good we have never heard it before, so there is some possibility they're using a new transmitter. By the way, there is a considerable Marshallese population right here in Enid, Oklahoma. And they might be surprised to know that in the past I've managed to hear a carrier, at least, from V7AB on 1098 kilohertz. Attracting a lot of attention this week were some tests of Vesti FM, the Russian station, via Grigoryopol, the shortwave transmitter site in Pridnestrovia, Transnistria, which is actually Russian-occupied Moldova. There were three different hours on three different days on three different frequencies, May 19th, 20th, and 21st, 13730, 15175, and 17505. It's all over now, so we won't go into all the details. I heard one of them at 20 UT, May 20th, on 15175, into the remote in Holland. It opened in Russian, time signal, and newscast, Novosti. Many others were hearing this, either direct or via remotes. Alan Holder on the Isle of Wight reported 15175 and got an EQSL with a reply. Our radio center is literally on the border with Ukraine. Test broadcasting is through a rotating antenna. Unfortunately, on 26 April 2022, it was seriously damaged by explosions caused by saboteurs infiltrating from Ukraine. Another shortwave antenna was completely destroyed. Purpose of the sabotage is not clear, as we are a civilian enterprise only engaged in high-power radio broadcasting. Recently, the rotary antenna has been restored by our specialists. Therefore, test broadcasting sessions are being held. But Alex Miatlikov in Ukraine replies, What nonsense. It's not a surprise that it comes from a puppet state run by Russian special services and serving geopolitical goals of Russia. Anyone interested in the story knows there was no damage to antennas at that time and little damage to medium-wave feeder lines, which were restored in a matter of hours. Tony Pavick in BC replies, "It's a bit of a throwback to the old days of Cold War, shortwave, tuning into Soviet republics and domestic stations, such as Rodina, Tihy Okean, Atlantica. The benefit today is we have translation software to let us know what is being said. My mind goes to the place that says, there is more to this than meets the eye. My intrigometer is peaking." And Bill Telford says, "I rather doubt Russia's long game is merely an extension of a domestic service. It's common to use different programming during tests than regular broadcasts. Watch this space. I would like to see both Russia and Ukraine back on shortwave. It might not win the war for either, but would be a valuable asset for both if and when there is peace." Via kilohertz, megahertz, and gigantic hertz. World of Radio 2296, a non-commercial service like our website, worldofradio.com. Our thanks this week for financial support from Doug Brown, London, Ontario, who sent a generous check on a U.S. bank, to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK, 73702. He says, "Thanks, Glenn, for all you do to keep our great hobby alive. One may also contribute via PayPal, not necessarily in U.S. funds, too. WORADIO@yahoo.com. Via a remote in India, Ron Howard reports on Myanmar Radio 5985. Friday, May 16th, heard from 1520 to 1540 with a Friday Night Live show, an audio feed from TV. And at 1540, they started their usual English segment 10 minutes late, normally at 1530. And weather at 1555, blocked by China at 1558. Radio New Zealand operations don't always match their official website schedule. May 18th at 0648, I had them on two AM frequencies at once, 11725 and 13690. However, they're supposed to be on 13690 only after 0559. However, on May 22nd, they turned off 17675 at 0558, and retuned to 11725 instead, not 13690. Anyhow, at 06UT, it's a good time to hear half an hour of BBC News via New Zealand. Here's another unexpected frequency for a North American pirate, 13960 USB, heard by Tony Pavick in BC, May 16th at 0211 with music. HF Underground ID'd it as WDEF. That's nothing to do with a real station in Chattanooga. Of course, that could be the second harmonic of a transmitter mainly operating just below 7 megahertz. Thanks to the multi-channel capability of a single digital TV transmitter, we benefit from lots of networks or stations you may never have heard of. I hadn't, as I surveyed them, coming from various Oklahoma City TV stations. Here are some of the strange names I found on the identifiers. Trucrum, T-R-U-C-R-M, Defy, Story, Nosey, N-O-S-E-Y, Quest, O-N-T-V figure 4-U, Positive without an E, Charge exclamation point, The Nest, Roar, Double, Me Tunes, Movies exclamation point, Busted, Laugh, L-E-F-F, Bounce. Sometimes Spain forgets to turn off one of their transmitters, like 15500 for North America. On weekends, it's supposed to finish by 2305 UT after running their earworm interval signal for 5 minutes. There was still a strong open carrier as late as 0257 UT May 11th. And a week or more later, Rick Martin in Arizona was hearing 15500 with an open carrier at midnight 40 UT May 19th. Here are the latest dates. The voice of Turkey was AWOL from its North American service at 22 UT on 11785, May 17th and 21st. Some things always erroneous at Emmerlaire. While we lament the lack of any shortwave broadcasts from Ukraine, Alex Myatnikov there says UATV English is a digital international media platform targeting broad audiences to deliver objective, relevant, and interesting info. The latest developments in Ukraine, in particular in the east of the country and the south, ongoing military operations, domestic and international resistance to Russian aggression. We are a trusted source for countering Russian disinformation in English. You can find it on YouTube at UATV English, also available in Spanish, Russian, and Arabic. North American efforts to hear BBC on shortwave, despite their best efforts to avoid us. Stephen Luce in Houston says 21565 from Madagascar performed very well in April for me in Houston from 12 to 14 UT, but reception became more erratic during May. Frequent no-shows. Good when checked via Southeast Asia remotes. Maybe one of those situations where Equinox provides best propagation. So maybe back by late August or September. Meanwhile, 1209-5804 from Madagascar is regular here at decent level. John Filiozzi agrees 1209-5 is fair at 0400, but beginning at 0500, 9410 is received even better. But by then, it's 1 a.m. local time, and I'm pretty sleepy. Stephen Luce says 9410 from 05 to 07 is now from Vatican as of May 5th. Somewhat better reception for me in Houston over the previous Ascension Island transmitter. SMG also uses very heavy audio compression, which helps audibility. Now about the Voice of America situation. Greg Hardison says, I miss Willis Conover. I miss hearing obscure Marvin Gaye tracks on the afternoon music programs Beam to Africa from Greenville and Bethany. If relaying OANN is the best the VOA can do, perhaps it really is time for a mercy killing. As we barely could mention last week, breaking May 15th and 16th, lots of press about this, such as from AFP via the Times of India, via Mike Cooper, hundreds of VOA contractors set to lose their jobs. Roughly 1,300 staffers have been placed on administrative leave. Some terminations affect J-1 visa holders who will have to leave the country within 30 days. Several journalists come from countries where they could be arrested or worse because of the reporting for VOA, according to Save VOA. Via Mike Cooper, Washington Post reported on May 15th, more than 500 of the news service's contractors could be out of a job on May 30th. Kerry Lake said, we will continue to scale back the bloat at USAGM and make an archaic dinosaur into something worthy of being funded by hardworking Americans. Buckle up, there's more to come. VOA director Michael Abramovitz wrote that he is heartbroken over the terminations made by USAGM. Inexplicable. No rationale has been provided for this decision. He's one of the VOA plaintiffs suing the government over the cuts. VOA workforce includes roughly 1,350 employees. Full-time employees were not affected by the terminations, but there's an expectation those positions will be considered later. Lake said 584 total employees were terminated across USAGM, including the Office of Cuba Broadcasting. A preliminary injunction ordering VOA staffers back to work on April 22nd was stayed on May 3rd. But it still holds in a crucial area. VOA still needs to fulfill its statutory mandate, so it has let about 30 people out of 1,300 return to work in the past 2 weeks. Since then, VOA has resumed some of its work in Dari, Pashto, Persian, and Chinese. From Kim Andrew Elliott on Blue Sky, English content has returned to VOA, at least in the form of editorials, apparently started May 12th. Also editorials in Persian and Mandarin. These, of course, are online and not on the air. Carolyn Ford looked at one of them. In fact, I think it's the first one in English again. It's titled Protecting Women from Gender Ideology. Of course, reflecting the position of the U.S. government. No free media. Eric Cooper remarks, not only sounds like present-day Voice of Career, but also very much like the old Radio Peking of the Cultural Revolution days in the mid to late 60s. But here is somewhat good news. Hans-Jürg Biener forwards a press release from the Prime Minister's office in Sweden, Ministry for Foreign Affairs. The government has decided to provide 20 mega Swedish kronor in support of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty in 2025. Sweden has been the third largest donor in the world in support of free and independent media, part of our continued efforts to support journalists and independent media. Via David Cole and Mike Cooper, an AP story of May 21st, the European Union has agreed to provide emergency funds to help keep Radio Free Europe afloat after the Trump administration stopped grants. EU Foreign Policy Chief Kaja Kallas said foreign ministers had agreed to a 5.5 mega euro or 6.2 mega dollar contract to support the vital work of RFE. The short-term emergency funding is a safety net for independent journalism. And she hoped the 27 EU member countries would also provide more funds to help RFE longer term. RFERL's corporate headquarters are in Washington, but journalistic headquarters are in the Czech Republic, which has been leading the EU drive to find funds. Thanks to George McClintock for restoring World of Radio to a time on WTWW 5085, UT Saturday, May 17th at 0300. But they've continued to have transmitting and other problems. Late on UT May 21st, the 9930 transmitter I was hearing putting out terrible spurs and splatter over much of the 9 MHz band, even interfering with WWV. Later, George explained to me that there was a serious security problem. An unknown intruder entered the station and was turning tuning knobs all over the place. This happened because the operator had forgotten to turn the alarm on. The gate at the fence had not yet been hardened, but it is being, and that project is underway. The intruder got away. May 18th at 0315 UT, Mike Newland in Morgantown, Kentucky, was hearing an unmodulated carrier on 6090, a strong S9 signal. That was a Caribbean beacon frequency, Anguilla. He wonders if it's back. I say it's probably WWCR, which has registered that frequency, probably as a placeholder on behalf of the Caribbean beacon, on their 46-degree antenna. That means it's the number one transmitter, which is currently out of service, so maybe they were testing that. On May 18th at 0214, I was hearing some weak talk, but a 10 over 9 signal on 9346.04 AM. I matched it to the modulation of 9330 WBCQ, World's Last Chance Radio. First time I've heard any such spurs out of that. Not everything on WRNO is gospel huckstering. Ed Chichurek in New Jersey reports to the NASA flash sheet, 7505, May 18th at 0125, a nice program of New Orleans-type jazz with vocals. The propagation outlook from SWPC issued May 19th. ANKNC is peaking at 30 and 6 on May 29th and June 13th due to multiple recurrent coronal hole features. Quietest days of only 5 and 2, May 25th and 26th, June 8th and 9th. Solar flux rising from 115 May 22nd to a peak of 140 May 30th to June 1st and down to 110 by June 14th. For much more info, consult our website, worldofradio.com. With many thanks to all our contributors and stations, hoping you'll hear me again next week. Glenn Hauser here concluding, World of Radio 2296. With a standard disclaimer.